by so far away. Jamie, would you please do the attendance?
Chairman Jim DeLon.
Here.
Deputy Chair Heidi Haynes. Julius Collins.
Here.
Dave Donaldson.
Here.
Mary Warro.
Here.
And Tracy Bartels, who was just here.
Thank you. SUNY update.
So SUNY Ulster, our enrollment numbers are trending upward. We're projected to hit budget with our enrollment numbers. Again, that goes back to where we took a look, you know, at what's happening statewide, and we projected a slight reduction in enrollment overall. So it looks like we're going to actually beat that number. So again, it goes to why we conservatively budget for enrollment numbers, especially when it's so volatile in terms of what's happening statewide. The president tonight, sorry he couldn't be here. He is at another event tonight with the legal services of Hudson Valley. So he wanted to send his apologies for not being here tonight. And we are also doing really well with out-of-county students who are coming to SUNY Ulster for our athletic program. So that's been a really big boost at SUNY Ulster, and we're really happy and excited to see that trend continue.
And last night at caucus, the issue of the environmental programs.
Absolutely.
So if you could just brief us on what's happening there.
So the environmental studies program is going under what's called program prioritization. So it's a time when we start to look at the program and see what's happening in the program. The enrollment in the program hasn't been as robust as we would have liked, and we want to see kind of why that's happening. So it'll be a program review. It's done on the academic side with our institutional research office, and they will conduct a full review of the program, look at external factors, look at the enrollment trends, look at other institutions in the area who are also teaching similarly structured programs, and see if we can improve articulation agreements to improve enrollment at SUNY Ulster, and then that can go on to other schools, and also how we can change up the program to think about how to market to a different audience, how to change the structure of the program, and that'll be a whole program prioritization review that's done, as I said, through the academic side.
So in the event that it was decided that the program would be cut, what would be that process and what kind of timeline?
So a whole team would have to develop the recommendation. I'm not exactly sure on the timeline. I can get back to you on that. But the team would develop, go through the recommendation process, and they would have to present that to the president. And then the president and the board would have to make the ultimate decision going forward if they wanted to discontinue the program.
Well, I think I can speak for us in saying that we want to be supportive. I think
absolutely
that, you know, given the whole direction of the county government, that it just makes sense to not only, you know, keep the program but make it more robust.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, anything we could do, perhaps when Dr. Roberts comes back to the next meeting, we could have that conversation.
Yeah, he'd be absolutely happy to. And it's a very exciting time doing the master plan and the academic assessment component, too. So it's a really great time to start looking at how we're offering the programs and how we're attracting students to take our programs and to see if this is a time when we need to add on different types of environmental studies within the full program offering to maybe steer a little bit different of a direction.
Now, how old is the program now?
It's been in existence for a long time. We do have a new faculty member who is kind of coming up. She just was appointed a full-time position this year. So I couldn't give you the exact dates, but I can get that for you.
You mentioned outside that it's really biology-oriented.
It's biology-focused.
Yeah, and there's so many other opportunities, you know, within the environmental
program. Right.
So we'd love to work with you.
Absolutely.
Bring, you know, the various environmental folks together to talk about what it is they need in employment, and maybe help you along.
Absolutely.
Have you known if the program has worked with like Cornell Cooperative? Or
we are working with Cornell Cooperative on many other programs, so that's definitely an area you want to look at. We also know BARD has a really strong program too, to see what we can do for better articulation agreements into BARD, and if we can start mirroring some of what they've done successfully with their program too.
Yeah, and I mentioned that I run a land trust, and one of the things we always need is someone to do GIS. SUNY New Paltz has a wonderful program. Our last employee who just went on to bigger and better things came out of that program.
Yeah.
So, perhaps that's another path.
Right.
Legislator Nolan?
I'm brainstorming on in a similar vein whether or not this program has connections with the internships, I guess they might have been, for Solarize and solar wind type construction.
Absolutely.
And maintenance jobs.
Right.
So it, you already have that kind of...
We have some of
that
in the continuing ed side, right? So how to kind of link those to really get a full program that mirrors what we need in the community, but also is creating a pathway for students to move forward.
When does the review occur?
It hasn't started yet, so it's about to start at the end of this academic year. So it'll be put under program prioritization, I think, for the next academic year. So I think it would start in the fall. But I can get you the exact dates.
So we have some time.
Absolutely.
8, 12, mm-hmm. Figure this out.
Yep.
Be a partner.
Great.
Thank you. Our next agenda item is 2020 budget department review. And we have Nina Dawson here from the Youth Bureau. And the Youth Bureau. Okay, thank you.
What's your name?
I just bought a little bit of documentation for you guys, nothing big, just to give you an idea on some of the programs that we actually fund through the Ulster County Youth Bureau, and also a little bit, I was told 6 copies, is that right?
Yeah,
that'll work.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm auditing the course.
Okay. I might have an extra. I might even have an extra if you guys need it. You need one more? Is everybody good? Here's an extra if you want. There you go. Okay. So, do you guys want me to present or do you guys have questions?
Please.
Okay. So, Ulster County Youth Bureau will start with. What you have is just a brief overview of the programs that we actually have that we're reviewing, that we are actually funding this year. There are, last year, for 2019, we actually had 30 programs. This year we have 35. And I'm always looking for new, innovative ways to actually help direct youth's lives in a positive way. So. Someone mentioned 4-H Cornell Co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Great, she's great. They do a lot of great things, and that's one of the new programs that I picked up. If I can, is it okay for me to elaborate on some of these? Okay. So at-risk youth, the top one, the color coordinated. I hope that doesn't bother you, but it shows all the new programs in yellow. I usually hate seeing grids like this, but I figured it would make the most sense to you guys. So at-risk youth is a program at the Saugerties Library that Rennie Scott's wife, Rennie Scott Childress' wife, started. And she found this program because there were youth hanging out by somewhere in the front of the library, and they were always there. So instead of her just passing by them, or like many people, they were complaining, why are they here? They didn't really have anywhere to go. She invited them inside, and she developed a program from it, and it actually is amazing. It's amazing. So that's one of the new programs that I'm really proud about. And I'm trying to reach the areas in the county that aren't normally the big focal points. Like Kingston usually gets a lot of light. Kingston gets a lot of attention. And I want to try to hit the areas like Walk Hill, Ellenville, the areas, the outside areas. That's very important to me. So I actually do a lot with Ellenville, as a matter of fact. Pine Hill Community Center is a very small center, but I think it's great that we're actually touching areas like that, Pine Hill, because there's a big opioid problem in Pine Hill, just like everywhere else. And I thought anything we can do to help. So it's a small endowment that we're giving them a small amount, but it's better than actually nothing. And when I actually started, Pine Hill was one of the programs that submitted a request but didn't get a response. So I felt obligated to at least review them. And I think it's great to have a program in the little nooks of the county. BARD is a program that's actually, it's Brothers from BARD. They have a small piece at the Kingston High School right now, and I wanted to encourage that because I got to know them with two of the men in the group, and it's a great program that works with young men of color. The 4-H Speaking is a Cornell Co-op that I spoke about before. This program is a very, very important program because I remember as a youth in school, public speaking was like a really, really hard thing. And when I actually reviewed this program, I thought it was a great idea to help youth, you know, get ready for presentations. Like, for those that go on to college, this is a great program. I wanted to talk a little bit about, just to give you guys a breakdown of how this works. For the youth bureau, we have youth development programs, and they are the ones that are actually listed in green. They're all of the municipalities. It's hard to really see the lettering now that I look at it in the green. But we try to get, I try to keep all the municipalities in focus, because that's my way of actually reaching the whole county, as opposed to just Kingston and all the focus being here. So I just followed suit with all of those programs. The municipalities are usually summer youth programs. They usually run 6 weeks in the summer. So I try to make sure. One of them did not actually apply this year, which was New Pulse, which I really haven't figured out why I did call to follow up. Because when a program is a municipality, I feel like I have a connection with at least that area of the county. So I followed up and they didn't respond. What happens many times in the programs, they have turnover. And that turnover presents a problem for the way that they actually submit, because OCFS is the one, is the organization that we get our reimbursement from. So OCFS has very, you know, there's certain forms that they have to do, so there's a whole process that you have to actually have an understanding for, and if they have a turnover rate, sometimes it's not worth the headache for a couple $1,000s. But
so who was that, Nina? Who's the contact person?
Well, I actually deal with each of the supervisors, but they usually have a person underneath, so I need to check and see if that was a reason why. I never actually got a reason why they didn't submit. And it's very strange, because every year New Pulse submits. And it's important, because it's too close for me not to, you know, have New Pulse included. What else? Youth Helping Youth is a program that I'm really excited about. When I started, Youth Helping Youth was a program where youth there was recognition for youth that do volunteer work. And the way that we actually get the recipients of that program is we contact the, normally we contact the programs that we have, but I expanded it out this year. I contacted the schools in each district. And I think previously there was probably like 40 to 50. We had 70 kids and their parents, and they were so excited this year. I actually did, that was one of my programs that I did at the Restorative Justice Center. And what it was, what it is recognizing a youth for what they do voluntarily. And most often youth don't do that. Like, you, to find a youth that does that, we want to encourage it. So this year, instead of getting them a trophy like in the past, I decided to get them something that would actually bring their focus more to this program. So I got them earbuds, and they went nuts. They went absolutely nuts. We had a sign-up sheet where they could choose a color that they wanted. They loved it. Their parents were telling me, we ordered the earbuds, and the parents are calling me saying, listen, if you don't get me these earbuds, I'm going to have to go out and buy them. That's how excited they are about them. So that program was a really, really good program. So it grew from last year, and we're one of our youth board members is talking about possibly having it at the UPAC so they can really feel like they're being presented, because we ended up having more than we anticipated with the parents. We had grandparents, parents. So it's good to see kids being commended for something good. That was a really good program.
So I see Kingston, I see Saugerties, Ellenville.
Well, Worcester, yeah. That's so good. You know that. Really good. Because that was one of the first things that I learned. We're Worcester. I was looking for Ellenville, too. I'm like, where's Ellenville? It falls under we're Worcester.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I also do other things with Ellenville. I'm actually very, very much involved with Frank Mulhern, who is someone that works with the school system. He's a retired gentleman that has an MBK program. He's doing great things. Yeah, speaking of which, my Brother's Keeper is another thing that I've actually started being involved in. I am involved, when you guys read this whenever you have time, I'm involved in the Hudson Valley Youth Bureau Association, which is the lower part of New York State. And having an association with a smaller group of youth bureaus is really, really good, because we get to do events, like inclusive events for like our whole area. And what it does is it takes me further south, and I realized from doing things with the southern tier that there are things that they're doing that we're not doing that are really good things, really cool things, and MBK happened to be one of them. So at one of my seminars, I actually sat in, I did a workshop for MBK, and I have been looking at this for like probably a year and a half, and then I realized, wait, Ulster County doesn't have MBK. Just small pocket.
MBK?
My Brother's Keeper. So it's a new incentive that actually was started May of 2019. And what it is, it's called My Brother's Keeper. Obama started it. It's to get young men of color to mentor to young men of color, not just for men. It's actually inclusive of women as well. But as far as graduation rates, young men of color tend to have a higher need for graduation assistance and for mentoring. So I started an MBK here, and we just recently did a collaborative event with Ellenville's MBK, and they were amazing. I'm going to copy off of their sweaters. They had all these young men and women in like uniform sweaters with MBK with the Kingston colors. Like, it was so amazing. It was a really, really good event, and they were so well behaved. They were offering us our seats and where the food and drinks were. I was like, are these high school students? It was really, really good. Really cool. When you see, that's right. When you see the benefits, it really works really well. And Frank Mulhern is a gift to them. So he came to my event when I started MBK, and he asked us to assist them, and it worked out really, really well. So MBK is a group that we have here in Ulster, but it's not funded by us. I'm currently seeking funding through grants. I'm working on a grant with the superintendent of Kingston City School District. There are other schools like Marlborough and Ellenville and Highland that have reached out to me to get mentors in there. Also, BOCES has reached out to me. I actually had a great meeting with BOCES, and after hearing about the program and just having a man of color to mentor to the Phoenix program that they have, which is a great program. Mm-hmm. But some of the kids that are in that program feel like they've kind of been kicked out and left to the side. And so they're really enthusiastic about us coming and helping. And I'm hoping that we can actually get that all set up. I have to get a proposal to them so that these men can go in and get be paid for their services, which could actually assist in other young men and women of color graduating when they have so many things stacked against them. So.
Well, you have a lot on your plate.
Oh, yeah. Story of my life.
Good idea. Midtown Arts District, what is that again?
That's a great program. That is a program from the Midtown Arts District is actually one of the funders for that program. They work out of the Y. It's a retired teacher, a retired art teacher from Kingston High School that actually gets paid internships for artists, for up-and-coming artists, and she's doing great. She does. She shows them all kinds of cutting-edge forms of art, and they get. Not only does she get funding to actually have this program, but she shows them that there is worth in art by getting them paid. So.
Pop-up gallery.
Actually, yeah.
The scholarship for working in the arts, like as
it's great.
Conveyors, different things, not just artists, but also like regular jobs in the arts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And are they the ones that have the dance troupe?
No, that's CCE. That's Creative Center for Creative Education.
That's how Drew runs that.
Yeah, and I want to mention.
But I didn't know this one. This is one that's new to me. So.
Oh, the Pope. Yeah. Career Visions is a program that is currently working in Ellenville, and they're working with Ellenville School District, and I actually gave them a small allotment to encourage them to stay working with Ellenville because that area seriously needs it, and I just want to. Feel like I'm doing as much as I can with a lot with a little, basically, is what I'm trying to do here. So the others are basic. The orange are youth development programs that have been existing for quite some time, but they're all very, very important programs. I think that we'd probably be lost without some of them. The why, like how there's so many youth on a daily basis. And the rest is pretty much explanatory, I think.
Because I don't know, how does a program get incorporated into your
how do they
program?
Get funded?
Not necessarily. Well, are all of your programs, it sounds like not all of these programs are funded through Ulster County. Some of them have their own independent funding. So my question is, is it funding that makes them under your wing, your oversight, or is it that something else, that they're doing something programmatically that fits with what
the
we're offering?
Okay. So I understand what you're asking. So I guess it's twofold. I've been in the community so long as far as dealing with different aspects of the community that I actually knew about some of them. So when I actually got into this position, it just made sense. And some of the things, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So there are programs here that that have different meaning, like youth development programs are exactly that, youth development programs. But runaway and homeless youth programs are the Family of Woodstock programs. They're absolutely necessary. And part of the requirement for OCFS is that we actually make sure that we incorporate some of the funding for youth development and some for runaway and homeless youth. So.
But the funding comes from the state. It's state funding, and the program gets the state funding. We do it through pass-through money.
Okay.
Right. Thank you. So I guess it's twofold. I know I knew some of the programs previously, and some, and all of these, by the way, that are listed here are funded by Ulster County. The only one that isn't
well,
is
through
MBK.
The state.
Right.
MBK.
Is my brother's keeper.
Grant that the school sought. Brought in community groups that would work with the school to create MBK.
It's getting to be a little bit deeper than that. They're actually, the main purpose of MBK is to create, and as far as Ulster County's MBK, is to create safe spaces. Mm-hmm. So some of the kids have simple things like they don't have parenting. They come home. They come to school hungry. How do you learn if you're hungry? So MBK, the mentors that are actually involved, both in Ellenville and those in Kingston, are people that they can associate with. Some of them were the kids, the youth that they're actually mentoring to. So it makes it easy to actually make them comfortable with you. And then at that point, they actually start being advocates because they're not teachers. They're advocates. They can actually build a bridge between a youth and a teacher that they're having trouble with. Or let's say there's a suspension issue where the youth might be looking at suspension. They can advocate that with the principals, with the AP. So it's the purpose is to try to keep them in school. So sometimes there's an arrangement where they actually, instead of doing out-of-school suspension, they actually stay with MBK and they get their homework done and blah, blah, blah. I mean, kind of mentors, they do what they're not getting, always getting at home, so
very
important.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Any questions about that hat that you're wearing? why don't you tell us a bit about the your other job?
Human rights. So
now the changes in for that's going to be taking place with the budget. That's the one of our main concerns for this evening is we're actually trying to review our budgetary requests and such. What is the difference in the budget for you presently and proposed for 2020?
Well,
you fair or human rights?
He's
start with
you,
PR, then we'll go
to
the other one.
Yeah.
The entire difference in the two budgets is $30,000, which is just the increase.
That's for Youth Bureau.
For Youth Bureau, it's $30,000 taking the part-time position and adding it to part-time. When you look at the line, otherwise...
And you can make it in full-time, you mean?
Right.
So the Youth Bureau is going from part-time to full-time.
No, the Youth Bureau is a full... They're both full-time, actually. Let me be honest about it.
Yeah, but we're looking at budget.
Budget, they were both part-time.
They were both part-time, and it was under your position. She had the two part-time positions, more or less, and made a full-time position for you, doing two jobs. Right? I mean, that's...
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's
budget. My boss says yes.
What's that?
Yes.
Well, that's the budgetary issues. So now the changes for 2020, so we can make it clear for everybody, is what?
There will be two separate individuals.
Two separate full-time positions.
Full-time positions.
Okay. One in Youth Bureau and one in Human Rights. Now, presently, the Human Rights, how much is the time that is spent in the human rights part of the job?
Honestly? Well, when I started, it was considered to be like 20% of the time, but it's like having two full-time jobs because I'm passionate about everything I do. So human rights, previously, there weren't many cases that were being reviewed. They were doing more work in the school systems, and I think they were working towards possibly having forums. And I think that a lot of people weren't aware so much that the human rights, I'm too honest, that's one of my downfalls. The human rights, I don't think it was as busy publicly in the community, and I've actually, it's grown. I developed a brochure with that gave information about what the Youth Bureau does, what things you can actually, what forms of discrimination you can actually bring forward for human rights. So I think with that happening and part of, I really don't know, but it's grown. And you'll see
so
some.
How many complaints have you, in other words, that were filed with human rights that you had for 2019?
There's a total of 25. I didn't list them all. I think I listed 20. I just wanted to give you guys an idea of some of the complaints, and there's two that I'd like to speak on, if you don't mind. So there's probably 22, whereas before, Just to make it clear that the commission members were asking me where I was getting these from, because they weren't used to getting this many complaints.
I think the local law affected that as well. I mean, mm-hmm. You all passed a robust local law.
Definitely.
That matched our human rights law.
Yeah, that file human rights cases within the county, I think that brought light to the attention that we had a human rights commission here from the county. As well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was a gentleman, there's actually been probably three or four that I can think of off the top of my head, but there was a gentleman, he was a Jewish gentleman that had concerns about a logo. Is that the one you're referring to? Well, there was a Jewish gentleman that had concerns about a logo from a Little League in Kerhompson.
Yeah.
So he brought light to it. He actually tried to do it the right way. He's a very nice, he's a retired engineer.
Indian Valley.
Yes. So he went to the Little League and explained to them how and why it was offensive. And when he went to them, he actually had a very clear cut, he had folders for each one of the members and explained to them why this was offensive. He educated me, obviously. So when he actually did that, I actually went, you know, brought it before the commission, and they didn't, initially they were like, but he's making a complaint about the logo, but the logo are Indians, he's not Indian. I said, I'm black, but I don't want to see swastikas. Like, I had to make that point clear, because the Human Rights Commission has the ability to speak and to advocate for people that don't always have support. So that's a big change in the Human Rights Commission right there. And I'm very, very happy that was learned, and part of it was from the education that this man brought forward. Because there are clear-cut New York State things that we are supposed to review. Forms of discrimination, race, religion, ethnicity, sex discrimination. There's clear-cut ones. But if there's an issue in the community, the Human Rights Commission almost has an obligation to actually speak on some of those things because we are the Human Rights Commission. So because we actually, because I actually convinced the commission to review this complaint and think differently, because you don't have to be of the same descent that you're making a complaint for. That would actually, I mean, there were people that helped people way back when, thank God. So as a result of that case being reviewed, we were going to, they wanted to make a determination that said that this, it should be forwarded to someone else, there should be legal, but I actually supported him because I felt that strongly about it. And as a result, he went to the Little League, he went to the National Little League, advised him about it. That resulted in the International Little League taking recognition of it. And then Forbes magazine actually put Ulster County Human Rights in there. There was an article in Forbes because of how we, because we actually supported what was right. So that's a very, very high profile case that actually got a lot of recognition for here. There was another case, a very prominent businessman, a couple, a really nice couple here. Their neighbor was, they had issues. The neighbor, they moved into a nice neighborhood. They thought was a nice neighborhood. The neighbor seemed nice, but they ended up having resentment because they were Jewish. So as a result of that, there was a lot of threats, and they called the police multiple times, and the police said, well, this is not something that we can actually do anything about because it's their right to speak. So this nice couple came to my office, made a formal complaint. Each complaint has to be notarized. They did the whole process. They're not in here because I ended up working it out by getting involved and speaking to the county DA. Because the Kingston police did what they thought was right. They went to the DA. The DA said, well, it's not punishable because it's just them voicing their opinion. And this couple was so uncomfortable that I actually advocated by going to the DA, and he was very, very good about it. I'm very, very glad that he took the approach that he did, and finally there was resolution. So some of the things don't actually go, they're not for a monetary gain. Some are just to get normal, everyday respect. So this is a very, very important department, I think. And I'm hoping that who we get, the person that we get, is somebody that we can actually move forward and keep things in the direction that they're currently going in. And also, I actually attended an event, a human rights event at Roosevelt Library. And on the way to the event, I'm a weird person, I had an epiphany. I said, we should have an association for human rights like we do for the Youth Bureau. When I got there, there were women and people from all over the place, all over the county, I'm sorry, all over the state for this event. And when I mentioned that, they all went nuts. So that was one of the things that I actually wanted to do with Ulster County Human Rights, and I'm actually having a meeting this coming month to at least initiate that so the next person in the line can keep that flow, because I think it's very important for Ulster County to be the lead on it.
Well, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we have our Office of the Aging.
Thank you so much. Have a good night. Stay warm, you guys.
Yeah. Susan Copenhagen.
Hello.
Yeah. You having fun?
Cold.
My inhale.
So, probably better if you ask me questions, because this is my absolute first experience with this.
Well, tell us what you've been doing, what you've been learning.
Well, what I have learned in the last couple of months is, it's interesting that the lady that was just sitting in this chair is sort of looking in the same areas that I'm looking in to expand our services. So we were at Walk Hill today, we were in Ellenville last week, and we were in Pine Hill last month. So all of the sort of more outer reaches part of the county, we're going to try to have a stronger presence. And with that, I found out as soon as I got there that I had to do a 4-year plan for the New York State Office for Aging. So the thing that I just handed out to you is sort of a summary of not only the things that we normally have to do that they sort of give us as goals, but some of the things that I've added as my own goals for the department. And we have a van that we'd like to take around to the county. It needs some work. We think we can pay for it. I just found out today that we can. Needs a little work, get it on the road, take it out, just like the county clerk's office is already doing, and what County Executive Ryan wants to do with the programs in the county. But we want to take our own, our legal, our Medicare counselors, our volunteer coordinator programs, things like that, into the counties, into the different townships, to try to get a more up close and personal presence there, in all is wherever we can get to with the van. We have unmet needs, as you may know, and we got a grant, a rather large one, to try and resolve some of it. So what we tried, what we decided to do, was besides hire another full-time case manager, we created two full-time homemaker positions from this grant that we hope will be a lot more attractive than a regular aide position in a licensed agency that nobody can seem to give us any aid.
What does a homemaker?
Homemaker is what they consider a personal care aide level one. So they don't touch you. A personal care, PCA level two would do personal care, bathe you, help you eat, help you get dressed. These folks, and we have needs on this level as well. So they would go, they would do the shopping, the cleaning, the wash, you know, I'm not talking about total house cleaning, but something that would help the person stay in their home safely. And whatever those types of chores that are needed in the home.
How does somebody get qualified for it through, you know, through your
department? We don't have to be qualified for the level one.
I'm not talking about qualified. I mean, how does the person that wants the service get qualified for that service? Because I know there's other people. I mean, like, for instance, if you have Medicare or Medicaid, you get both of them, then you apply and you end up, you know, you get somebody coming in, but it's paid through the insurance, like a Moscus or something like that. They pay for that, and the people come in for whatever the hours are. Some people, you know, they make it 6 hours a day, but who qualifies to get this care?
Oh, who qualifies? I'm sorry.
And how is it the, you know, I'm curious as to how it would be different than that coming from Medicaid.
When the case managers go out and they meet somebody new, or somebody says, gee, my mom's at home, she's alone, I can't really help, she probably needs meals, she needs a personal emergency response system, she may need a little help at home, they go out and they assess her, and a typical need is a 4-hour-a-week visit. It's not every day, it's not personal care. As you may know, I hope you do know, that there's a huge aid shortage everywhere. It's in this state, it's in the county, it's across the country. That's a whole other problem that I can't solve. It's way beyond my pay grade and everybody else's, but what we're trying to do is address our wait list of people who we can address with this 4-hour, 4-hour a week.
So this would be a 4-hour a week thing, that?
No, it's a 40-hour a week thing times two. But
no, I mean, if I'm the guy that's getting the care, I call him, or
whoever.
He calls for me because he knows I'm in bad shape. And
I have done that, yes.
And as a result, I'm liable. I mean, I'm good for, but I mean,
yes,
is there like an income level, or how do they come up with the person?
So people in our program are not Medicaid eligible.
Okay, so it's non-Medicaid eligible.
Yes.
So is there an income ceiling? Okay, that's what I'm trying to figure out, where your piece fits in. In other words, I know with Medicaid it fits in because you're paying for the Medicaid. For
right.
People that have a old crap for money. I mean, they end up, they just hire somebody.
You know, I'm not going to necessarily...
So you're, it's in that, that
yes,
in between.
Yes, that's kind of donut hole above Medicaid,
okay.
But...
But you're not going to get everybody, because you're
no,
always got a waiting list. Because
it's
get
all MySOFA funded, right? I mean,
right.
So they set the eligibility requirements.
Is there a, what is the waiting list at this point, do you know?
Over 100.
Because why we made, like, why that's why we were eligible for the unmet needs grant. And so these two positions that Sue's talking about are actually coming to you next week in a budget amendment, because when that grant was originally put into the budget, it was professional services.
Gotcha.
But the department realized that they had this need for these two case aid ones, the homemakers, as opposed to the professional services.
So they're working 40 hours a week these
yes.
days?
Yes.
So they'll cover like 8 people.
Right.
And they'll have a geographic location.
Each one of them will cover 8?
10.
You go 10, so they'll do like 3 hours, 3.5 hours each person or whatever, then travel.
Whatever
time
we can
and all
possibly
that.
Make it work.
Right, right.
Right.
Well, even if somebody gets 2 hours, I mean, you can get the number.
Even if I can fit in 3 people a day, say somebody doesn't need 4 hours, they only need 2, or
right.
Let's say somebody lives in a neighborhood. Maybe somebody lives in a neighborhood or there's 3 people that live. This is what we do in a licensed agency anyway, right?
Right.
So I'm going out and I'm shopping for you, you, and you. And I'm getting all 3 of your shopping done. And I'm going to their house. I'm starting their laundry. I mean, this is
yeah, but I don't want it to baloney that he wants.
Okay, we'll make sure we say that.
Don't mix that up.
And we all want Dave to have his own baloney.
I think that having the ability to offer someone a little bit more money, but much more importantly, in my opinion, is the benefits. Because if they're not able to get health benefits and time paid time off, I'm not going to be any different than a licensed agency, and they're not an attractive option. So nobody's working for them. There aren't enough people. So we're hoping that this, you know, this model that we're doing, and other counties all over the state are doing it as well and have been doing it with success, to be able to offer to the people that you have a lot more control over your own staff to. You need to go to Pine Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to drive that far. Sorry, you work for us. Here's a car. Go. So that's how we're dealing with some of that.
So, Kathy, you're pretty remote.
Pine Hill is at the far end of the county from Kingston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually two of the places that I want to focus on and isn't part of the unmet needs necessarily is Pine Hill and Southern Ulster.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't forget Denning.
And don't forget Denning. And Pine Hill, we were out there last month and they
both. Both of those people in Denning, you mean both of them?
it's up to a couple of hundred now, Dave.
Pine Hill is in Denning, right? Isn't it in the Denning County or no?
No.
Separate?
It's in Shandaken.
But they have a wonderful community.
And then
center.
The other one will be a full-time case manager.
She's already been
And that position does what?
Just what the other case managers do. They open up cases. They manage the cases. They make sure that the people have the PERS units, the aids if we can supply it, the home-delivered meals if they need it, anything else that they might have a challenge with.
Or linking them to other services
exactly.
that are available. And like Connect, that's a great resource.
Yep,
also
that's exactly what we do.
Yes. If I might, while I have you
please.
Here, this is just a suggestion.
Yeah.
I love the idea, the concept of having a mobile unit
mm-hmm.
that goes to these, you know, rural districts or... there's a great need for, especially in our senior population, to access Social Security office. And that's something that we did away with a while ago. There used to be a portal office that would come.
Yeah.
It was like Wednesdays.
Yeah.
If we could get together in the congressional office or something and just do like a satellite office, I'd love to be able to have you do it mobily, or even if you just carry the forms with you. I mean, think about someone from Pine Hill going to either Poughkeepsie or Hudson. That's
the only places that are,
you know, and you know they're homebound, a lot of them, you know, so it's just something to consider. I don't know if we could ever collaborate something like that, you know, even if it's just traveling with the forms that these people need. A lot of them are not on the internet. Some have no internet broadband access where they are. So it's just an idea.
Agreed, and that actually came up last week when that exact same thing when people were talking about what we could offer in the van. And besides the legal and the things that we offer within the office and the high cap counselors and the Medicare savings plan said, why can't we get someone from Social Security? Because the only places people can go are Hudson and Poughkeepsie,
yeah,
and you have to do it over the phone,
yeah,
or you have to go there.
The level of frustration,
yeah, I
know. Even for someone like myself, it becomes frustrating if you're dealing with a senior population who a lot of them aren't technologically savvy and are homebound, you know.
Yep.
So that's just
and it's growing. It's not like it's getting any smaller.
No, it's not.
Unless there's any other questions, just could you touch upon
please.
The meals situation?
The meals situation.
Yeah.
So we have a couple. I have a couple of thoughts about that. Again, because of a growing situation. Again, because there are again unmet needs on the home delivered meals list. What we're finding is that I don't think through much of a fault of their own, but just because of the circumstances that we're all experiencing with that level of staff as in drivers for Gateway. They can't find drivers. So their staff have to go out with all of these home-delivered meals for hours at a time, their regular program staff, not driver, and deliver all the meals to wherever they need to go, which I appreciate because they're getting the job done. But
if we're going to go too far into discussing this particular contract, if we can either go into executive session or just not talk about a particular vendor,
okay.
I would not want to harm nonprofit.
Right.
So
I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah, I'm just.
Yeah.
If you wanted all more details, then we could go, you know, somebody could ask to go into executive session. We could talk about the home delivered meals. There are some plans going forward, but
just know that I have been actually today. My colleague in Rockland called me, and she, as many of the other surrounding counties, are struggling with this. And she's doing a survey about how much everybody's paying for it. It's quite a range of costs. And I told her some of my ideas of what I've been exploring with this, and I just think that we need to keep our options open because I don't think that the seniors right now can be served in toto, and I'd like to make sure that there are no wait lists, especially for that.
Although I would like to, if Chairman DeLong, I would like to see us have more discussion on this next meeting, so we may have to go into an executive session or what have you, but I'd like to have that scheduled.
All right.
Because I'd like to, you know, I'd want to be able to know what's going on.
Okay, that's noted.
This is probably not the best time for it.
All right, well, thank you.
We'll default to you on that.
No, I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Now, there is, I know there used to be different people that did the Meals on Wheels a long time ago. It used to be Community Action did it. It's done by the one group that did it, the IBM, the old IBM. Mm-hmm. They did that for a while, and then they were the ones that just said, oh, we don't want to do this anymore, and they walked away.
They just
walked right away from it, and it was like left to side and dry. And before that was Community Action did it for a very long time, actually. And so I don't know, you may start looking at the idea of having multiple vendors.
And that's exactly what they're doing in other
Zeroing in, like for instance, the City of Kingston area or the Greater Kingston area. You have somebody like the Community Action that has a kitchen, they'd be able to probably pull that off. I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for them. And then there's others that have done that, but I don't know of any others that have actually done it. Maybe even People's Place may be able to pick up something of that nature.
Legislator.
Do we have a Seniors Helping Seniors program, correct?
But that would be just here, then you would need other ones in other places.
What do you mean?
Like Greene County, they have a tremendous group of seniors. I think Ulster does as well, that deliver the different meals and things. Do we utilize any volunteers for that?
No. Currently, Gateway has drivers and staff delivering meals.
Mm-hmm.
There are places that use volunteers. I don't know what they're doing in Dutchess. I live there and I was on their advisory board. I can find out. There's a number of different solutions.
Yeah.
There really are, but everybody seems to be sort of struggling with the need and the growing senior population that either can't cook it for themselves or can't get to a congregate meal site. We have 4.5, which helps, but a lot of folks can't get out of their homes. So having any kind of driving program is going to be helpful.
Just one other brainstorming type of thought is that Plainfield Community Center, I know, has wanted to have a van for a long time, and maybe there would be some way that we could work with different areas that are the difficult areas for service with providing an infrastructure if there is a commitment to providing the, providing the vehicle. So, for example, the Plainfield Community Center, I think, has drivers. Have people who come to their program potentially contract and get whatever certification they need. So it's getting the county into doing a little bit more than we do right now, but it would serve two needs instead of one.
Right. One of the side conversations was to exactly do that, is go to these outbound communities such as Pine Hill, which has a very vibrant community center and really hungry for more involvement with the county, and gee, it's an hour from Kingston mm-hmm. to deliver anything.
Mm-hmm.
So why not go to Pine Hill and say, who could provide meals over here just in your community, so you don't have to wait an hour or two for a meal to be delivered? Who could do that? I did call Delaware County. I called all the surrounding counties to find out what they did for their meals right when I got there, because this was a major issue. And they all have different things. They have, you know, outside contractors, and they have, you know, Sullivan County does it out of their nursing home. Don't ask me how they do that. And the meals are prohibitively expensive. I don't even know how they get them out. $19 a meal. It's like, whoa.
Wow.
Well, it's all internal for them, but that's their cost when you add it all up, the driving and everything. So Delaware, I think, had something different, and I couldn't get a hold of them. And Greene County had something else. And, you know, Greene is just as rural, if not worse, than we are. With no major cities except for Catskill, and that's not really a major city. I'm being generous, right? It's a village, and it's a real struggle that needs out of the box thinking, and I think a more localized approach.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
there is.
No, I was just going to say that perhaps next month we could drill down a little bit.
Yeah, I think one of the problems with the localized approach, I mean, it's a great approach, but the problem was it tends to be more expensive because you're making smaller amounts. In other words, the idea of having one group making it creates the economy of scale. And but having said that, I don't know how you can get it done in a county this large. It's pretty tough.
Are the home delivered meals still being delivered once a week?
No, every day.
So it's every day. I think previously it had been
frozen once a week,
which we wanted to get away from, but
we can talk about it again, but understand that two of our neighboring counties already make huge amounts of meals to be delivered. So their economy of scale is already, it already exists. So adding an area of Ulster County may not be as
I
understand what you're
sense.
Saying.
Oh, yeah.
And then today,
if you get Delaware County to do the little edges of Ulster,
or Orange to do,
or Dutchess to do, they already have huge operations because they have their own kitchens.
Sure.
So their costs are much less than anybody else because they get the raw food. I talked to the guy in Dutchess, and they get the raw food from Bateman, and they make the meals, and their costs are much less.
They're actual county.
They're both counties. They both of them are county programs.
So it sounds like you have some things in
I want to bring up one other point, unless Sue was going to bring it up, but there is one other budget amendment that's coming next week, and if you want to talk about the health...
Age-friendly thing?
Age-friendly.
Yes. So one of the things that I didn't put on here was the fact that in the summertime when Judy Riley was the acting director, she had applied for an age-friendly grant, age-friendly community grant. We received it a couple of days ago, I think on Friday, our notification that we'd gotten. It was $79,000 and change for 2 years. So it's a staff position, and it's 70% for expanding the programming in the senior hub and then other centers that we have, and then 30% for New York Connects. So that is a new, brand new grant that we're getting, and we can, you know, whatever you said, a budget amendment that we'll have to figure out where they're going to sit. Everybody's just at a desk. That'll be a challenge. And but to make the senior hub into sort of a model, if you will, or try to make it one of the models of all of the things that I've talked about here. It has a potential to do congregate meals. It's doing it. Gateway is delivering hot meals there twice a week. And they have exercise, and we want to put in more programming, and we want to put in some new stuff for people to gather, because not only are we on the bus line, but it's easy to get to, and there's parking and all of those other things that we need sort of in place at the other centers that may or may not be there. Pine Hill, again, is a great example of a place that's ripe to develop a real great OFA programming, because they have the structure in place already. And we've already started. We already put Celeste there doing Tai Chi and Southern Ulster, in the form of the Wallkill seniors, who we met with today, are also very excited about getting something going down there, because there's a dearth of our services down there as well.
Great. Well, are there any other questions?
Can I just add something?
Sure.
Because I don't know that many of you actually, we had not something that we've really done a great job of publicizing, so many of you may, when you hear us talk about the senior hub, may not even know what we're talking about. When Adele was the county executive, she had put together the senior advisory task force, and one of the recommendations was that in the city of Kingston, borderline town of Ulster because it's the BRC, that there was not a great place for seniors to gather. Yet, right across from our Veteran Service Agency, we had an underutilized, although frankly not, really underutilized, underutilized conference room and a larger space behind it.
So in the
working park? In the BRC, like right when you walk in, the door.
Where the veterans area was.
What's that?
Where the veterans are.
Well, right, right across the hall.
Yeah, there's a big conference room there.
But we actually opened up three rooms.
The UCDC used to meet there.
Yes.
Yeah. We expanded it into three rooms that is now can hold about 100 people. They do events there. They do Tai Chi there. They have congregate meals. Maybe one of, if not December, but one of the meetings of this committee being at that center might be a great idea. An idea. We did it within the operating budget of Public Works, and we renovated space. It's dividable. It's worked out pretty well.
It's very nice. We have a senior.
Start the new year there.
Well, we could do it in December.
Yeah.
We all want to play bingo.
Right.
The problem with
outside
bingo is that I
outside
have
limit.
They would like their prizes. But I would like to make that in. I don't. When I say gaming, I don't mean gaming like computer games or gambling games. No. When I say gaming, I mean like brain games and intellectually stimulating games and games that you play in groups. So, you know, the isolation can be combated a little bit, and they have fun.
That's great.
Gambling is now one of my.
Yeah.
Really looks good.
Thank you very much for listening and asking your questions.
Yes,
please feel free to call me, and I'd love to host you at the hub. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well,
you might want to, you know, if you're looking at some of that thing, you might want to check with Community Action, because they do have a pretty much a state-of-the-art kitchen down there, because we paid for it.
Whether they're willing to ramp them up. But really, there are several alternatives, and Greg's on my list, but we had to pay for them
because they were looking at doing the Meals on Wheels, and we gave them a grant at one point to repair their kitchen. That was quite a while ago, though.
Well, if you're willing to host, how about December for the members of the community?
They used to do the meals.
You willing to go there?
They
used to be very good, though.
You're good? Yes. Okay.
Right in King's
Valley.
Yeah, December.
December. What would that be? look at the calendar.
We can do it. Our meeting in December, that'd be great. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's just not too far.
Is it usually after hours or during the day?
After hours.
Meetings are always around. We usually meet at what? 6:30. Yeah, 6:30-ish.
It's way too late and dark.
Is it scheduled for December 17th?
Okay.
No, it won't be December 17th.
No.
Our meeting is December 18th. I don't know when our...
Oh, that's the full board, I think. Yeah, that's the full board.
Yeah, I think we better put it off till January because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
with the budget vote.
Yes.
All right,
things
we'll
get figured
out.
You'll figure it out and let me know.
Yep.
Yes,
Shall I give you a card or?
I have it.
You know how to get
You're good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have Veterans Services Agency, Frank.
Yeah, you got to watch it,
Jerry.
You got to watch this guy, Frank.
Unlike my colleagues, I'm not as prepared with handouts. I came here to talk numbers.
Let's do it.
I got nothing but good news.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so I meant what I said. This year we saw two new revenue streams in the Veterans Service Agency that it took a while to develop, and I'll elaborate on both of them. One of them is the DSS, a state allocation of funds that ties the services that we do at the Veterans Service Agency. I like to say, affectionately, we are the DSS for veterans. Okay, so all eligibility requirements, everything from health care to aid and attendance, people coming in caring for veterans, to transportation, to medical appointments, and stuff like that. So we are a homeless shelter, the Patriot Project that everybody, if you're not familiar, I can talk about that as well. So the state realized that the Veterans Service Agencies do operate in that space. There were other counties doing it, and I can't take the credit. My predecessor, Steve Massey, did find this money, and that's about close to $500,000 in revenue. That we will share. So there's a contract that our agency has, interagency with DSS, about oversight and reporting, and to make sure we're getting, you know, the right numbers back to the state, so that money can, you know, they can see it's being spent in all the right places.
So they could do, like, for instance, a EAT program or something like that, even.
I don't know. That money's coming into the general fund, but it's basically the way that it was broken out is that we took our staff. And we looked at the amount of time we spend casework-wise that mirrors the same amount of time that a DSS caseworker does on similar projects, healthcare, homelessness, and stuff like that. So the percentages equaled payroll amounts that equaled benefit amounts. That's what that number is. It's not like, oh, we have, you know, close to $500,000 to throw at you. Here it is. There's a calculation percentage based on employee doing similar, if not exactly the same work that a DSS caseworker would do that we're doing in our office. Does that make sense to everybody?
Duplication of services.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. So the other one is, which is great, we're super excited about, we have an indigent veteran burial program, similar to, that everybody knows about. So the veterans have one as well. Well, we also found that the state has a reimbursement for that. So in working with the New York State Department of Veterans Services, DVS, we're starting to reap the benefits of exploring that avenue for revenue. So that line number is an addition. It's new this year, or it's new for 2020. And then the other good news is our personal services are, you know, we're down 11K. So we're up in revenue and we're down. But let me elaborate. We are expanding. I was brought on about almost 5 years ago as a part-time employee to do the same thing that the current county executive is doing now with bringing remote services to rural areas for veterans. I was a part-time field representative. That was my job. It was 5 years ago, and here I sit before all of you. So I went to the nursing homes, assisted living facilities, home visits for homebound veterans, and not only veterans, widows, family members, and those that are taking care of veterans. So that was my job. So that the idea of mobile government and bringing it to rural communities or municipalities in the county is not new to our agency. And me having been the initial person in that enterprise, I'm going to work with the new director when he comes on board, and we're going to make sure we get it right and synergize. I work a lot with Sue since she's come on board. We're trying, because of our demographic, our age, not mine personally, but the veterans, we share some clients, right? So we're trying to combine some services, maybe do things at the same place and including veterans. And it actually what's kind of funny is a lot of the seniors that are involved, there happen to be women. And men don't really, this is what I've been told, I don't know, don't really show up for these things. So, and when they engaged me and the veterans, I said, yeah, bring some of those veteran men into some of these senior events so we can get some mixing going on, some socialization. So Sue and I have been working together. I went to a couple of her public hearings that she's had recently to give my pitch about what we do at the Veteran Service Agency. So the majority of our costs or county costs go to projects like the cemetery. How many of you have been to the Veteran Cemetery, New Paltz? All right, so that's lots of big plans for that. Steve Massey, again, I have to give credit where credit is due. I've only been doing this a short time. Has really made that place the way that it looks now. So the upkeep for that is not our responsibility. It's not in our budget. However, the flags is in our budget. The burial, right? So what we pay New Paltz Rural Cemetery, those costs are in there. And then the indigent...
burials in general.
Absolutely.
Got a little raise with that this year, the funeral homes.
Yeah, maybe it was a slight increase.
Yeah, it's appreciated.
And I'm glad you bring that up. I'm glad you bring that up because they, every day, right, somebody, it's a veteran, and the widow or the widower doesn't have the resources, the family doesn't have, or it's a tragic young death from opioid. Veterans, we're not immune. We're a minority group, right? So when we talk about minority groups, I'm as a veteran, we are in that space. Tragic young death. They don't have the money. So these funeral homes are really stepping up all throughout the county, are stepping up and doing what they can for these families. And then the county, in turn, is doing what they can for the local businesses, right? And then the state's giving us a little bit of a chunk back. So these type of programs and, bringing it together have made us solvent the way we are. We're pretty much, we increased in revenue and we decreased in expenses. Granted, it was personnel, a payroll type of stuff, but we stayed flat, right, for the most part, and we're going to continue to deliver more services. And the way we're going to do that is inter-office, inter-agency cooperation.
Right.
DSS, like I talked about, OFA, like I talked about, and then sharing some of our fleet. We do have a small fleet. We have two handicap accessible vans. We go to Albany every day. We go to Albany every day, and we have pickup points throughout the county, right? So we send out our drivers at early, rain, sleet, snow, unless it's too dangerous. But very rarely do we cancel these appointments, and they go all the way out, and they bring them back to Dietz, and they get on the bus, and off they go to Albany Monday through Friday. We also do dialysis for veterans in Kingston, right? And we pick them up throughout the county. We even started a new program where we're picking them up at the nursing homes, right? Because what the nursing homes were doing what they do for everyone, unfortunately, is Unity is the big company out of Golden Hill, and they build people,
yeah,
right? And it's huge. It's a huge cost. So when we got word of that, when one of our hours, not to be any special, but different, obviously, they told us, they're like, well, that's unacceptable. So I worked with the staff at Golden Hill, who we have a wonderful relationship with. We've done our veteran monthly luncheons there for the past three months now we do it. So we have a great relationship, and probably because of the proximity. No, most definitely because of the proximity. But not only that, the number of veterans. Right? Mm-hmm. Golden Hill has twice the number of veterans and widows in it than any other nursing home facility. But they're out there, and I have been to those facilities. But back to my point, we're like, look, we can get them, all right? And if we have to, you know,
they're
if we're
charging them rather than letting them use their VA services, like, you know, exorbitant amounts of money for services within the nursing home. And these are veterans that have VA coverage.
Hmm. So we changed that, starting with the transportation. We've also, when we realized that as well, we started working, our office, which is a county office, is working with the federal VA clinic in Kingston. And we said, you guys got to get into these nursing homes. Because what you have is you have vets that are on VA health care, or something happens, they end up in a facility.
And nobody knows.
Or, that's right. Well, we get the call, and then we try to get the doctors in, and then it's a clinical medical struggle to who's got, you know, the power and, you know, possessions, 9-10, you know, that. Well, we call BS, right? It's like, no, that's not happening. So, again, we're working with the, you know, with the administrator. Jeff Hoffman is his name. He's the top administrator there at Golden Hill, as well as the clinical staff in the rehab section, to say, look, we need to bring in our mental health providers and physicians just to come in for a visit. Hey, how you doing? We need to open up a door for information to flow. Oh, we changed your meds. Oh, we're going to give you this. Oh, we're going to give you that. So our role in that is really facilitators and paying attention, right, and listening to our clients, to our roughly 13,000 veterans that we have in Ulster County, you know, times two with family members. All right, so you know, we're not the federal VA and we're not in the nursing home business, but veterans is our business. So when family members call up and say, hey, we have a problem, hey, we have a bill we can't pay, hey, they're charging me too much money, hey, can you help me register for dental insurance? That's just an example. I had to help a gentleman because he was, you know, OFA guy, doesn't have a computer, and he's like, I need dental insurance. I'm like, all right, let's go. What do you want your username to be? Right, so those are the types of services that we do. But back to the expenditures, so the cemetery transportation is one of the things to manage the fleet and to pay the part-time drivers, fuel costs. I have the formula on how all that was calculated and how we've been able to manage it on a dispatch type of level to make sure that our employees are working the hours that they need to work, and we're not going over with gas, and we're, you know, we're meticulous in the way that we manage our drivers to make sure every veteran gets the service that they are deserving of and entitled to, and again, being stewards of the county taxpayer dollar. So that's how we've been able to do what we've done this year, and I am the interim director, and there's a new director coming on board here shortly, but I'll let Mark and the county executive make that announcement when it happens. So, right. Are there any questions?
Budget changes?
Just the revenue sources that I mentioned, Legislator okay. Donaldson, and then the decrease in personnel. Other than that, very small. Okay. But we like them like that, right? So I know what you guys do. I worked up there a couple years ago. We're doing great with what we got. So
thank you.
Thank you
for coming here. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for
sharing that with us.
Provide a vital service.
Yes, you do.
Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you all. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
We've got the 2020 budget legislative application request discussion.
Why don't we get the resolutions done first?
All right.
You want to approve the minutes too, Dave?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll move on to resolutions for November. Resolution number 465, amending family budget. Number 466, Jim Wall repair replacement.
Stuck on my butt over there.
Amending the 2020 capital fund budget. SUNY Ulster in approving the amended work order with the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York.
So moved.
Second. All in favor? Thank you. Two, resolution, second resolution, number 467, amending capital project number 469, SUNY Ulster Water Supply Extension, and amending the capital budget.
That's good news that we're getting this finally after years and years.
Yeah.
Second?
Check.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 469, amending capital project number 485, water staff storage tank replacement for SUNY Ulster.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let's go home. Resolution 505, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county.
I'll move it.
Seconded.
What is this one again?
This is for the facility master plan and academic assessment. So this is coming with the contract now.
Gotcha. All right, thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution 506, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county.
I'll move
Harold. Construction.
I'll move it.
Ulster County Community College. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Resolution 507, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and Merritt Construction.
I'll move it. I know you like, you want to get it all out.
Thanks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so now, budget.
All right, let's.
And Dave's done us a favor here.
Yeah, I did say seven things. The community action, we don't need to do anything with that unless you want to cut them. And I don't think any of us want to do that. So they requested the same amount that they had from last year. The Board of Mind requested an extra. Did they request?
Yeah, how did they make out with that? Did they change it to services, or they still want their HV?
Is there an extra one down there, Jim?
They say they claim they changed it to services, but I'm curious. I don't see the it was awarded in 2008. They only requested 24,750. They didn't request the extra $4,000. Did they? Well, I don't have it on there, but. The Board of Mind originally wanted an extra $4,000, right? Because they had their costs at some point.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, but it doesn't show up on this.
Yeah,
little
I don't know
stuff.
What ended up happening.
Yeah, because they said because they're actually doing more programming.
Yeah, but they have to run the air conditioning.
Yeah, running the air and running the that's what it is. But they're doing more programming. But they are doing more programming because they actually operate year round.
Yes.
They used to close in July and August basically because they couldn't run programs.
We helped them resolve that problem.
We helped them resolve the problem, but now their other problem is that their increased costs. So that's what they're looking. They were hoping to get an extra $4,000 out of us. How do you, Adam, the rest of you feel about that?
I agree with an increase for an increase in programming. That is
All right, so what we'll do is we can put the amendment in and make it
with contingent?
Contingent on using the program. In other words, like if they want to help invite children to come in to see a play or something of that nature, like they do. Like, for instance, we used to give money to Catskill Ballet, which we don't anymore, but they may fund it through the arts.
So the Nutcracker?
Yeah, for the Nutcracker, because they would bring in, and now they raise it. Yeah, they raise money to bring in kids for that. But they would bring in, various school districts would come in and see that the Nutcracker.
They have a great relationship with NUNA and the Youth Bureau, and they reach out, and they want people to be able to experience, like when Grandmaster Flash came, they did like a tour, and if you signed up for the tour, it was kids from the Youth Bureau. If you signed up for the tour, you got free Grandmaster Flash tickets. And so they came in.
I saw you there.
they got a tour of UPAC, and then they got to see a show that they wouldn't have otherwise got to see.
Oh, that's what UPAC is doing.
UPAC is doing.
Right, okay. So we'll put the amendment in, just let, let her know that our amendment would be that for they added 4,000 to go up to 28 instead of 24, but it'd be for programming.
Yep.
And then we had Arts Mid-Hudson, which you also requested more.
$5,500 increase.
I don't remember what the justification was for that.
Well, they're using it. They use it for outreach.
Yeah, and I want to recuse myself from this discussion. So.
Okay.
They want to use it for outreach, but I also believe, I think we need to make it as for programming. I'm going to say the same thing. Because I'd rather have that money going more towards grants that they do. I mean, they're talking about more, I think they were trying to get people paid a little more, which I understand. It's, you know, it's like, you know, it's like education. When people, you know, education, the problem is it's all employment. Well, of course it is. That's what it is. And the same thing with art. You need to have somebody outreaching, and that's what they do. They put together groups. So they do a great job, but we have not increased the grant end of it. We've increased the other part. So I think maybe the same thing. Put it for grants.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe contingent, we will make them understand that that extra $5,500 is for grants to artists.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In other words, that's,
that's what they do.
That. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
All right, so that would be the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
That would be $5,500. And their increase, they wanted up to $9,000, but they did talk about it as giving pay. And I think at this point, we beat that up the last 2 years in a row, and we haven't beat up the grant part.
So I have a concern about Soil and Water Conservation District in that.
They don't come to us.
Right, but it is in here, and I just want to make sure that they do get funded.
No, they get funded. They get funded through environment. Or is it
I'm looking right now. I'm trying to find it.
I don't think this went to Energy and Environment.
I don't think so either.
Did it go to Public Works?
No, you know, I didn't know where it went, so I went to the executive's office directly about this and spoke with Pat. But I didn't know where it was going to come. So maybe is this the first time you guys are seeing it?
Yes. Now, will they put it on our, what happens is, but they put it on this list because it's sort of funded through the legislature in a certain way. I don't know why, but we've never overseen that one.
Right. No, they're an independent agency with an independent board, and Jim and I are the liaisons to that board. But their funding comes from Ulster County and other sources.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, why don't we move on while Mark does a little investigation?
We'll
come back to that. So the next one is Cornell Cooperative.
Well, who do they report to?
They
not report, but who oversees it?
It is Energy and Environment.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So should this amendment budget?
So
I'm sure it's a line item.
Maybe the Energy and Environment just never looked at it then. They never bothered to bring it in. In the past, they used to, but I mean, I don't know. I never go to Energy Environment, so I don't really know.
If it hasn't, and we have the ability, we'll do it. So let's move on to the next one while Mark's doing a little research.
All right, the Cornell Cooperative, they wanted it added
52.
They were doing certain things, and one of the things was monitoring the river waterways.
Right. Water
but
quality.
My problem, I support the concept of that, but my mindset is that they should work through the county executive more on that one. I mean, because it's like something that I think they may have been doing some of this. Anyway.
They did some grant, there is some grant work with the Department of the Environment.
I think this is a matching, isn't it? That they have received funding from someone else.
I know they increased their request, but when I told Jared that we were going to recommend flat, he was satisfied with that as well. but that he had felt like
a year ago he had requested
an increase, and this year
a different type of program.
This was for hazard mitigation, and it's work that we're doing in the Department of the Environment as well. We added a position there for hazard mitigation outside of the watershed, and we're going to work side by side with Cornell Cooperative on that.
Okay, so no.
Right, they've saved life for a pretty long time.
Can we split the difference?
But I would look at that, taking the 35 out of that and perhaps increasing them like 7. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted 35 to do this with that one particular job. I think we're doing it through environment and all that, so they don't need that numbers. So they wanted 56 more, it looks like.
Right?
Yeah. 53. Yeah, they wanted 53 and 32. I wouldn't have a problem with increasing them. I mean, you think the numbers, because they did ask for an increase for operations. They were saying it's costing them more.
So this helps the county. They're doing work on behalf of the county. So.
Well, any money we give them, they leverage.
Yeah.
Right.
And I thought
they triple the money that we give them, and actually they are probably one of the, if you talk about economic development, they happen to be probably one of the best economic development group that we get, because they employ a number of people, and all that money, those people that they're employing are through grants. They have all these people that work there, and they're all working through grants, and they keep
so
on getting and leveraging.
Has suggested a 25, split the difference, 25,000?
Well, they wouldn't need the. I would make it more like 15. So I don't mean to be too conservative for you.
That's okay. I tend to be more conservative. So what was your thought?
My thoughts was they don't need the 35 that they were requesting.
I thought
the first
they were requesting 50.
But they were requesting 35 for a specific position.
Oh, okay.
The other money they were requesting for, you know, more operations that it's costing them, and more programming, because they feel that they can maybe pick up some of the 4-H again and things like that, some of the stuff that they've been pushing to the size. So if you took the 35, you minus, you know, you take 52 minus 35, what's that, 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you're real good in math. Are you?
And do we want to go...
And that would be, we could cut those things a little bit, so I'm thinking to 12.
And we've been talking program a lot. Do we want to have it specifically?
Yeah, well, we would that for program. Yeah. Well, I think they know what's best for them. I mean, they're the ones that have read on
it. But we'll leave it flexible for them.
Yeah, I'd rather see it flexible for them, and if they can do 4-H, they'll do it without a doubt.
Okay, 12,000. Do we have consensus on that?
And that's for programming, mm-hmm. again?
Yep.
Well, right. Going once,
going twice. And then supervise the family of Woodstock.
Okay.
So you skipped the seat resolution?
They didn't make any changes.
Oh,
they're good.
No, they're great because it used to be CASA, and now... The biggest problem with CASA was they were really having a hard time keeping a head of the department there,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, pay-wise, it just wasn't...
Family
Woodstock?
They
came to us and explained to us what they needed for, because they're actually having more visitations. So, I mean, they have to.
And the opioids is contributing to that amount.
Right, that may be contributing, but they are doing more visitations,
right.
And it's costing them more to do the visitations.
Yeah.
So that would be that. For increased costs in visitations, and increased visitations and increasing costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as
so that's supporting the full amount?
Yeah, they never ask for anything more on those. It normally comes in. He's had the same number for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped it up in 2016, and it's been like that. And, you know, I know Library Association... And they're looking at, they added a $4,000 amount, right?
Where are we at with awareness?
Awareness.
Oh, awareness, we don't, I don't. That's another one we don't do. It goes to health.
Okay, so we don't have to weigh in on that?
Nope.
Okay.
That's health. It goes to health department.
Library is ours, though.
You and I can talk about this one.
And then the Library Association is requesting that. They requested that present to keep up with the present programming that they have. Because, and of course, all that money is in the way they invest their money is that it goes into the Library Association. So anybody with a library card, I don't know if anybody's been using any of those things. They're pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think this was really for subscriptions.
Yeah, it's subscriptions. Because some of the costs in there trying to keep up with the subscriptions on what they use.
You're good with that?
Yeah,
with
and they keep adjusting them. They're very good at adjusting them. They sit down, they adjust what they see is working well, and then they rearrange it.
So we were saying yes to the $84,500, which is an increase.
They're requesting $50 less than last time. Not what they got, but $50 less than what they requested. Yeah, maybe.
Well, that was
fine. That was...
They got their full request this year.
Reverend, you good with that?
Yes, so they're changing to whatever that number is. $84,500. And I think I've already told Amber to draw them up because I knew we kind of had somewhat of a... Figured you could always rip them out if we didn't come up with the consensus.
All right.
All right, now that's those. Now we have that Mohawk Preserve.
Well, do we have
a
Don't Be a Monster 5,000?
Oh, the Don't Be a Monster, not asking for anything else. And, it depends on if you like or hate the program. Some people seem to not like it. I don't know.
I've never heard
some
a
people
bad
seem
word
to,
about it.
I haven't either, but...
About what's
that? I have a fifth grader that just went through it.
What's that?
I have a fifth grader that just went through it.
Oh,
that
didn't do
it. It was a little intense for fifth grade, but that was the school district's call, so.
Oh, all right.
A lot of things are like that now.
This was just one of the ones I was thinking of when Nina was presenting of whether or not this should be within the youth bureau in some way and get, kind of steady funding instead of kind of the ad hoc request. And this program, unlike awareness, goes throughout the county. And we don't have any other bullying, anti-bullying
the
program.
The only awareness doesn't go throughout the county. I mean, it does go throughout the county.
They only have served Ellenville and recently
New
reached
Paul.
Out
they've
to
been
Paul.
In New Paltz. They've been very
active
in New Paltz awareness.
Trying to figure out where they work and as in how they operate and what goes on when we last sit down and talk with them. So that was the reason, and they weren't really looking for help for whatever reasons. They weren't really looking for help. So
who's that?
Awareness?
The Monster.
So, but Awareness has been active in Ellenville, correct?
Yes.
And New Paltz?
So I think it does make sense. We just heard about a great
second year in New Paltz.
Set of programs that the Youth Bureau does. Maybe it really should be a line item for them for, her name escapes me, to deal with and oversee. We don't.
She oversees a lot of OCFS programming. I mean, so she gets the majority of her funding through the state, so I want to be careful in not
mixing
the pots of money too much.
Right.
But I mean, so who's overseeing it? Because we really, I've never attended it. I don't know if the rest of you have.
Don't Be a Monster, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. The Don't Be a Monster, he uses his money, I think, just for outreach into the schools, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it could also be something that would go in the health department.
That's
if
where
it was
they have come, and I think in the past they came to help. So maybe it makes sense to keep it there. It's just primarily directed to youth, and so just a thought.
And so is awareness.
And so is awareness.
But the Don't Be a Monster, well, it's an education program. But
let's talk offline about it because we don't have to do
so
it.
So for our purposes, mm-hmm.
For our purposes, we're not doing any changes on that.
Okay.
He didn't request anything different.
Very good.
And I'll talk real quick on before we go back to Mohawk on Samadhi. You and I discussed a little bit on this, and he's requesting $50,000, and that's for training trainers. And I don't know if I'd like to get it done through the budget process at this point, but I mean, we would have to send out an RFP to do that. I mean, I would assume that, so in other words, he would have, this person would be bidding on that RFP, but
this is exactly what we did with Legal Services of the Hudson Valley when we initially, when the legislature put in the money for the domestic violence services, legal services, and it originally was targeted towards Legal Services of the Hudson Valley. I was director of purchasing at the time. I said, please just put it in the budget, but don't say that it's for Legal Services of Hudson Valley. Don't earmark it or whatever, and purchasing will go out to RFP. We did. Legal Services of the Hudson Valley was the only one that proposed, but we spent it far and wide, at least to cover ourselves from a procurement standpoint, because you're talking about $50,000.
How are they funding? I don't even understand the model of their funding for their programming as it currently exists.
Who? Somadi?
It's in development, I would say. They are a very new organization, and programs are now being recognized. What they were trying to do with volunteers and patchwork money are now being recognized as being the type of services that will receive funding through, like, the
Oasis.
Oasis. And if they're in the process of getting that.
They're currently a 501?
Yes, they are a
501. They have a lockdown?
They have it applied and they qualify.
They,
so
they are not a actual 501?
They're a 501c3 eligible.
Okay. So here lies my issue. Great program, you know, but there are other great programs who are also self-funded. So it's very difficult for me to allocate money targeting certain programs when, especially if they don't have a self-funding mechanism in place.
So I would say that this is startup support, mm-hmm. and they are offering a range of services that no one else is offering.
Or
if there's another program that offers free services at 24 hours a day in the wide range of the programs that they're offering, I don't know of it. And I'd like to know of it, then we can support that as well. But one of the ways we answer that question is to say we need peer-to-peer training for peer-to-peer counseling services,
right.
And we put that out for, but we don't target it to Somadi, we
this
put it out for
right.
RFP.
This is one of the few, this is, right now that the, what the, this group does is they train the trainers and they also do program on themselves.
They also
and they're certified
themselves as volunteers. This is where I'm confused.
They're certified to train the trainers and they want to set it up as salary position. They have been volunteer up to this point. But I think this program just and I this
well,
is the same thing.
But
I
a lot
know,
of it will be
but I just want to add something about this in particular. One of the things he brought up at our meeting was that we are going to be required to have specifically trained people by the state in a very short period of time, and he's one of the few people that can train.
They
That's
have that
right?
now. That exists now under Oasis. So if you're
okay.
going to promote yourself as such, you it's a requirement through Oasis that if you're gonna have people specializing in alcohol or substance abuse, then you need to have your KSAC and whatnot. So that already exists. So, you know, we bring up another, we have to keep be mindful of another issue. When we are going to be allocating funds towards any type of program, technically they become a vendor of the county. You need to make sure that they have all of their insurance paperwork in order.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you do that through an RFP. I mean, we would,
and I think if you're willing to do that, I think that that is a good way of solving the problem. There may be other vendors that submit, but I think that really does protect the county. I'm in that situation. I, you know, what I do for Orange County, no one else does. But they still put it out to an RFP. Nobody responds to
right.
it,
and
yeah,
we're
like
all
that.
Safe.
We,
that's
the
works.
Way you would
honestly.
Do it. We cannot. We're not going to give money to them directly.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do an RFP. What we're requesting in this case, and there, I think one of the things that they do. A lot of it is volunteers. What they're doing, but in other words, the person that's going to actually do it, that person gets paid. He trains the trainers. So the trainers become volunteers helping out in their community, but they have to be trained by somebody to do that.
It has to be certified by the state.
Yes.
Yeah,
what,
that's
what
it
is. What's
well,
different, Heidi, about what the new requirement is that there be peer
counseling.
Yeah.
Previously, you could have somebody who never had an addiction problem, and that would qualify you. So the new recommendations based on evidence-based programs is that if you have peer counseling, you get much better results. Mm-hmm. So now OASIS is going to be requiring peer counseling, and there aren't enough. There are not enough trained peer counselors.
No, there's not, because it's rigorous training.
And the Somali leadership have the certification to be able to do that training. And if, like I say, if we put it out to RFP and anybody else has that, you can do it.
So, Mark, who would you work with to, you know, for the...
It would just go through purchasing at Jordan.
So we would just
okay, but who's going to specify what it is?
In other words, it would be addiction recovery.
Yeah, I mean, it can either be in the legislature's, like, they can work with legislative staff, or...
Addiction, it would be addiction recovery,
but we would allocate the money now for the RFP.
For the RFP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You allocate the money for the services.
Right.
The vendor's chosen.
But the money wouldn't be touched, it wouldn't be given to anybody until... The RFP goes out, and everybody more or less accepts it. Mm-hmm. It's more or less tucking away $50,000 for possible use.
I guess my question is that we agree to do this, and someone from purchasing is going to create this RFP, but we want to make sure that some of the things that peer-to-peer and some of these other issues are included within that RFP.
Right. So this could come through Public Health Committee. And we would work with the commissioner's office on that. And is it sufficient to just put it as addiction recovery services in the budget, or do we need to be more specific?
Yeah. Should be fine.
But I think, you know, you heard what we were looking for. I think there's folks here that think that this organization is...
Not this organization, but
these services.
But
these
but
services.
That these are a gap that... I mean, and we do have considerable... funding for opioid prevention within the budget, but I'm not sure about these. I haven't looked at what they're requesting and what kind of services. I don't.
So would it be a separate one for Don't Be a Monster? Are we talking about putting that out for RFP?
No, that's different. That's below any threshold, that, and they ask for regular whatever they...
5,000.
What they always ask for. All right. Dave, how do you want to tackle that?
Well, the other one was the Mohawk Preserve they requested.
Oh, yeah. Wait a second. Samadhi is 10?
No, 50.
50.
50. 50.
My
Mohawk
Mohawk
is 10.
Mohawk is 10.
Okay. Mohawk is 10. And then Samadhi was 50, and Arkell is 30?
Yeah.
Is Arkell coming through us, or did that go through something else?
It ends up going through
Public Health.
Okay.
We've never really dealt with them.
Ours.
Yeah, we're going to question. And the Hudson Valley River Maritime Museum, I don't understand why that didn't come through here in the past, but that also...
They've never been funded in the past. This is the
Funding.
This
so
is a new funding.
And where did the count, where did you guys stand off on that? And you didn't...
It was just one of those where the county executive really doesn't want to just provide one-off funding for any specific nonprofit. So when Legislator Pettit suggested that they come speak to our office, we said, well, maybe they should go to legislative programs.
You kicked the ball.
Well, they never came here, so.
I don't even know what they're going to use the money for.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't either. So, I mean, there's no that I'm not going to say, oh yeah, let's throw $30,000 over there. I mean, I don't know what they're going to use it for.
Mohawk.
So we go back to Mohawk. We went to their place, and they explained that what they're using their money for is for educational programs. That they're going into the schools, and that what this does is it gives them the ability to get into more schools. And they're presently doing, I think they had New Paltz comes there.
Rondell goes there, too, and they do the
Kingston. I think they just started going to Kingston.
No, the
Wendy.
Oh,
they do that one,
yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah. You can go and spend the day in the woods and go on the trail and have lunch. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful program.
So I think they what they were saying is expand the services they already provide to.
Right,
the
they're expanding services, you know, basically through, into, they're going into the schools, but see, some of the schools are not, in other words, they're not funding them as much. I don't know.
I think it was specific to urban areas, I think Kingston.
Yeah, they want to grab Kingston, Ellenville. They want to grab the areas that aren't used to being into the woods all the time.
So my only cautionary tale here is that, I mean, there is that programming in many places like Kingston now with Wild Earth. They're doing very similar services, and they're contracting through the city of Kingston and other school districts. And they're even using, like, I think one summer they used to join Retrieve Park, went out, did fire building, did outdoor education type services. They proposed, sent us a proposal under the Bradford Futures Initiative that we would send some kids to Wild Earth. But, I mean, of course, there's enough room for multiple programs, but depending on how much you're talking about, another one of those, like, should you have competition or not?
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
Yeah, I think when you get to $10,000, we should be putting these out for RFP.
Yeah,
and
we talk about this every year, though. I mean,
I don't know, maybe.
I'm like, 2 years, but I'm like, talk about this every year. Changing the mechanism.
Yeah, but when you do that.
So 30 to 40 is really your RFP threshold. Yeah, multiple quotes at least. Anything over 10, we suggest in the procurement manual that gets passed every year unanimously through the legislature. Anything over 10,000 would be multiple quotes. Anything under 10,000, you can just
numbers are getting larger.
Go.
Well, it's not only the numbers are getting larger, there's more of them, and I think that moving forward, we ought to devote a meeting to a procedure, you know, internally.
Yeah, I know that. But then there was the, you know, we probably need a better procedure, I guess.
Because I think what's
like
happening
when you're looking at some of the stuff that you're doing here, like with the arts, how are you going to do that out for bid? Because what they're doing is, it's a unique situation. I wouldn't even know how to try to put that out of bid.
Well, and that's fine. I think what's happened is that there's a number of legislators that are talking to organizations and say, oh, well, you know what, send an application into legislative programs. And you can see what happened this year. I guarantee next year there's going to be double this amount.
Well, I don't know if there will. I don't know. I mean,
you know, also some of the different programs obviously will not reach the whole county. So that sometimes winds up being, I know when Jennifer Schwartz-Berkey wanted to do the one program, we went through, remember, Dave, we went through the video chat thing with the woman and all the different stuff. And really, ultimately, it was only going to be at one school. And Saugerty said already tried that program and did not.
Well, that was a counter to the Don't Be a Bully, because they didn't like that Don't Be a Monster program. They felt that the Don't Be a Monster program was not... it wasn't data driven, and they were saying that, you know, there's other things that are being data driven through educational programs and things of that nature.
And the cost was per building, not per school.
Right, and it was a big that was a big expensive program that would have to be taken on by the schools, not by us.
But not that we have to decide it now, but one of the thoughts might be doing something that we would put, like, let's say we took certain money for Don't Be a Monster or whatever, and put it out to different school districts that the PTAs want it to get on board with, that we would give a certain amount of money towards particular programs that we maybe were familiar with.
I think that sounds good, and I'd be willing to give more money to some of these programs if they would go to the underserved areas. You know, Don't Be a Monster, I think, tries to get out and makes itself available, although it requires a match from the school, so that can be prohibitive. But that it's available. Some of the other programs, I think, are more structured for their local area, but then we ought to do them 1 year, somebody else another year.
And if we don't have a provider, then give them more money.
Every one of these things are countywide. What we're looking at, and none of these other than maybe, the Mohawk Preserve one, but they're reaching out to others. But we don't have a real lot of addition here, other than the Maritime Museum put in something. I don't know, what's the D&H Canal Historical Society?
D&H is, and then I mean, I can speak to that. I think this is an important one, in that this is an organization that's really getting you know, they took over the Dupuy Canal House. I don't know if you remember that
years
ago.
My ex.
So they purchased that, and they're making a D&H museum there. They've raised about $400,000+. And what they're asking for, you know, to do a restoration, they brought some professionals in to really do a proper planning, visioning process to get this going. But they're looking for $20,000 from us to do some exterior work, type exhibits, so wayfinding. So our match to a $400,000+ effort would be $20,000 is what they're looking for.
So that's a one-time thing,
yes,
request that they ask.
That's correct.
And Hudson River, River Maritime Museum, Hudson River Maritime. We don't know what that is.
It's similar where they've done a lot of good work in getting some state and federal grants, but those often come with matches, and so they've gotten sort of all this funding. I mean, if you've been down there, it's phenomenal.
Oh, no, it's
where
amazing
we did the budget
what they've done doing.
They're doing boat building, and then they do sailing classes with at-risk youth. There's a lot of great things they do.
That museum has been transformed in the last couple of years. There's new board members, and they are an economic driver for the Hudson River. Yeah.
One thing I might suggest as you talk about procedures in my director of purchasing hat is one thing that you could do after this year. Obviously, you're where you are now this year, right? But after this year, you could define a budget for these kind of programs, an all-in budget, and then put out one RFP, like, or a call for proposals.
Yeah.
And say, you know, this is our legislative programs committee funding. If you have a proposal,
tourism is important, historic preservation, you know, opioid, whatever, but let's have those silos.
We need some guideposts and something, because this is just getting a little bit willy-nilly.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think these are all great stuff.
That's what makes it difficult.
Right. But unless we have a procedure, we're going to look and feel bad.
Right. Well, the only one's changing is these last. But the only big change from Mohawk Town are the only changes. The rest of them we've always, there's something that we've been funding and, you know, for certain programs that we've always agreed on. These are new ones, but I think, like you're talking about, somehow, in other words, that one shot in the arm, like we pushed that the arts do, although the arts do, we allow them to refund other certain things that, you know, that are ongoing, that they feel that is bringing a lot of people in the programs. But we want them to do capacity building, and in other words, that's what we were attempting to do with this. So, in other words, like for instance, I don't know because the D&H Canal didn't come here, and I don't know about the Hudson River Maritime Museum because they didn't come here. So I wouldn't been able to. I would like to, you know, drill them a little bit and find out exactly what they wanted to do. But I mean that would make
really
sense
capital,
if we could.
Right. As opposed to.
I mean,
operating.
It would make sense if you could give them a one shot in the arm, mm-hmm. because what happens is, like Cornell Cooperative, the money that we give them, they lever into other money. If we didn't give them any money, they wouldn't be able to leverage the money from others. So a lot of these places, in other words, they can say, oh, we're funded by the Ulster County government. So therefore, they attract a lot more. They can attract grants. They can attract things that they would normally not be able to get a hold of, and that's the whole idea. So that's maybe we need to think about zeroing in on that type of stuff. In other words, places can come here. How is our money going to help you get more money?
I think the procedure that determines what type of folks you're looking for or you want to come, how does a new organization get into the pot that's written out and defined so that when they ask, you can hand them a piece of paper that says these are the requirements. And then if you develop that, then your questioning on the end is less because you've got something on paper that says this is what they stand for, this is how, because in that you're asking how do you operate, how are you funded now, what are your intentions, and
Well, we do have some of that in here.
So I would ask that January 1st, Jamie, that mm-hmm. we have an agenda item, and Mark, please, you know, feel free to join with us in as far as establishing that procedure.
On New Year's Day.
Well, not January 1st, but creating
first day after.
Creating I'll be watching project. College football on New Year's Day, but after
we'll be meeting in your home.
We
want
to
be kind of like that.
Nice meeting you in his house.
Noted.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm good, Dave, with both.
That's the other thing, people place. I mean, I know what they do, and they do amazing things.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they're using this for. I know, in other words, they didn't put something in about...
Let's just open that new kitchen.
But it was something else, the way they put it in...
Where did you see anything, though?
I don't remember where I saw it. But I remember the wording in it, and I said, because I said something, they need to change the wording in there, because what they were requesting was not, it wasn't for programming, it was for something else, the way they wrote it in.
Well, I think, quite honestly, with the tremendous amount of work that's gone on there, and what they offer, the services that they provide to that community in particular, and the, like, they're fresh produce markets on Tuesdays are phenomenal. They
yep.
serve so many, many people. And you have not seen that name come up for a funding request for obvious reasons.
Right, right.
So
no, I agree with you.
I'm an enthusiastic yes.
Okay, good. You're good. Okay. I'm good with that one. I mean, I'm
especially
more than
at
that.
That amount, I think
yeah.
that's fairly...
No, she does an amazing
yeah.
job.
Yeah.
So can we go through this?
I know a number of people that volunteer
right?
there. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Organization.
I volunteer
so we're
quite a bit. Not recently.
One more time. Don't be
ago.
A monster. What are we doing?
Same
with that?
Thing. We just
we're
request
them.
Them.
Okay.
We're not going to change anything.
Mohawk, yes, no, up, down.
Yes.
I'm yes.
Okay.
The Mohawk Preserve, for, that's for programming.
Right. We're going to put Samadhi out to an RFP.
Mm-hmm.
And
addiction recovery services, that is.
Okay.
Yeah, take that out. People's Place is for $10,000 for programming.
Okay. And ARCAL.
Programs.
Yes. Oh my gosh. ARCAL is.
ARCAL is what now? Why?
That goes through health. Right.
That goes through health.
Yes.
Okay. So we're taking
but
that.
But it shows that they weren't
out.
In the budget before, but they're in the budget right. before. Haven't they always been in the budget?
No other organizations.
In the event they are not in some other
mm-hmm.
line
that
item,
yes here.
Then we're good with that.
I'll talk to Nancy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know where that is.
It
hasn't come here before.
They presented it.
Uh-huh.
So that
can
we
they,
can go
haven't
home.
Haven't they been funded before?
Yes.
Maritime Museum and G&H. We're good with
he's
those two?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are yeses?
Yes.
Which one now?
Maritime
and Museum and G&H.
G&H.
The D&H, yeah, that one's the, what are they looking for?
They're looking
20.
For 20 out of a
440,000.
All right, and that's
20 sales
for external.
And then that's for,
yes.
yeah, good point. We'll put that in as for external matching grants.
For D&H?
D&H. And
it's for external matching grants. That's the...
I think, okay, so we've got that. January, we're going to start looking at categories
mm-hmm.
and putting pots of money in those categories and issuing RFPs.
Can
okay.
I just go from the
can
top
I,
really
yes,
quick?
Yes, absolutely.
Can I recommend one thing?
Yep.
You're going to fund the Maritime Museum? Because to me, they are just... They're just trying to get as much funding as possible, maybe match the D&H Museum.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to talk about 30,000
mm-hmm.
without an RFP, without
yeah,
anything.
20.
Yeah.
I
like that idea.
So 20 is, well, 20 or 10.
Well, I like the 10 only because I'm thinking we're doing for the D&H, right?
Is 20 on the D&H?
20, yeah.
Or
okay.
make it complete. We can make it 15 and 15 if you want.
I mean, in the scheme of things.
And then for external matching too for Maritime.
Both of them for external matching.
Right.
You know, I would go
2020. You can make it to 2020 for before and for external. That's
mm-hmm.
fine. I think
sure.
that's good.
What are we saying?
20 for each one of them, and it's for external
matching.
Okay, local share.
Local share.
Local
grant.
Share,
yeah.
Good point. That's a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's why you're paid the big money.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that the 20 is... Okay, 20 and 20, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's justification for the 20 for D&H,
and Maritime didn't give us justification, so.
But we know what the justification is.
We like them, we like what they're doing, and.
No, they've been putting in a lot of work in that place. Like you said, they do the boat building there,
solar powered.
Yeah,
built there.
My youngest son went there the other day with his girlfriend. He's never been there. He was so impressed with it.
And they do an amazing competition on build your own boat in a week or something.
Yes.
By hand.
I wish I had time.
I think they bring in the vet.
I know.
Yeah, the vet programs that we do the boat building, I think, is partially done there.
Okay, so it's approved on community action.
Yes.
Approved for programming for Bardavan, approved for programming for Mid-Hudson Arts. Soil and Water does not come here, but we'll confirm that they're in the budget.
They are in the budget for $91,000.
When the programming put for art grants.
Okay.
Parentheses art grants.
Yeah.
We don't want to go into their money.
Cornell Cooperative is $12,000.
No.
What are we doing for Cornell?
No, they're
12,000 increase.
Oh, an increase, yeah. They
yeah.
Said,
so that would be 362.
They would be. Yeah. They would be. That would be a good budget number for me.
dispute
resolution approved. Family Woodstock approved.
That was approved. The difference of $4,500.
Yep.
Library
Association approved. Don't Be a Monster approved at the request. Mohawk Preserve approved, but for programming. Well, that is for programming, anyways.
Yeah.
Samadhi, the RFP for addiction recovery services. RCAL is a yes, but I'll confirm with Nettie that it's at health, and if it's not at health, then it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Maritime Museum, yes, $20,000. External matching local share for grant. Same thing for D&H Canal. And then People's Place, yes.
Good.
Great.
Anyone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you, Mark, for being here.
No problem. I'm assuming someone's going to do something with that piece.
Yes. I'm going to take it home and have it. And she'll get the point. No, I'll take it to the police.
Okay. All right.
And Mark.
Thank you.
We took the other chair away, so I got your
coat. Oh, thank you.
Give it back to you.
It wasn't so cold, I'd be likely to leave it behind me.
No.
The only one that's going to be warm
well,
though, outside is.
I don't like to move something that somebody put someplace because they used to it.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't get my bag. Oh,
I feel like I've been here.
Listen, if I'm still here, and I'm still on...